Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk about the 49ers' 20-17 loss in Baltimore against the Ravens as I podcast from Honolulu, Hawaii. Steve is back in the Bay Area. First, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Steve, the 49ers drop a 20-17 decision to the Baltimore Ravens. What a game it was in the rain. Two great teams going at it. And I guess when you're in that kind of weather, you're expecting that you're going to see a lot of running. And the 49ers ran the ball so well, and so did Lamar Jackson, of course. But pretty much what you expected to see in that kind of weather?
It was. It was a really good game. Like you said, two really good teams. Statistically, it was pretty even. I thought the 49ers actually ran the ball extremely well. Not that Baltimore didn't. Seemed like first half the Niners were a little off on their assignments. They had the guy assigned to the back, but they didn't have somebody assigned to the quarterback. They got that figured out in the second half. It was a lot better. Basically came down to what we thought. Whoever had the ball last was going to win, and that's what happened.
I'm glad you brought that up about not being assigned to the quarterback. It did seem strange to me because you knew that Lamar Jackson was a great runner and he was going to run the ball a lot, and he ends up with over 100 yards, yet the 49ers seemed a little unprepared for that. I mean, they bit on so many of those fakes, and they're tackling a runner who doesn't have the ball, and then Lamar Jackson is running free.
I think they were prepared for it. I just don't think they executed it in the beginning. They even commented on the telecast that the 49ers had learned a bunch of new, or were going to, had learned a bunch of new techniques. We're going to use a bunch of different techniques to try and keep Lamar contained. And I think for the most part they did, especially on the dropbacks. The D line, I thought did a good job of containing him, but probably the first, I'm going to say half a dozen runs, the defensive end did his job of tackling the running back. But the linebacker did not scrape, to take the quarterback.
Well, he's a tough guy to prepare for.
How you have to play that, that run, I'll call it run pass option. It's more of run option. We did much better in the second half with it.
He is just such a tough guy to prepare for because, I mean, yeah, he could throw the ball when he wants to, but as a runner, he's like a running back. I mean, people compare him to Michael Vick, but I mean, I think it's almost a better comparison to Barry Sanders the way he was making some of those moves.
he pulled one on one of those runs. Who was it? It wasn't Tart. It was Mosley.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think where he looks like he's going to go kind of inside of Mosley's contain, and he sticks his left foot in there and then just jukes out of it and, you know, about breaks Mosley's ankles.
Or it might have been Witherspoon. It was one of those two guys.
Oh, I could, might have been Witherspoon.
Right. I remember what you were talking about, though. Yeah. It was such a cut. I thought I was watching Barry Sanders or O.J. Simpson or something.
No, no, you're right on that. But he threw the ball well. The one touchdown throw was a tremendous throw. Both two really good teams. Somebody had to win, and unfortunately, we didn't have the ball at the end of the game.
We'll have more 49ers Extra with Steve Bono right after this from TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans, if you've played at TPC Harding Park, you know that TPC courses are awesome. And there's a great opportunity for you if you're headed to the 49ers Saints game in New Orleans on Sunday, December the 8th. It's the Golf the Gridiron Special. You get a round of golf at TPC Louisiana that weekend. It includes a TPC Louisiana cap, $30 on your TPC Louisiana gift card, 50% off golf club rentals, all for $179 plus tax per package. Check it out. Go to tpc.com/Louisiana/San Francisco Special to learn more about the Golf the Gridiron Special in Louisiana. Since you mentioned the end of the game, there was sort of a questionable decision there on 4th and 1. Now, I wouldn't have gone for the field goal because Robbie Gould, you know, missed one earlier, maybe a little shakier this year. It's a terrible weather. I don't know that I'm going to try a 53-yard field goal, but what about passing on 4th and 1 instead of running it?
I would like to see them. Yeah, I kind of question it. As soon as I saw Jimmy G line up in the shotgun, I was like, I don't like this.
I don't like that either. Because that shows you're going to pass, yeah.
Yeah, I'd much rather be under center and have the threat of run. Yeah. I'm okay with throwing the ball, but run a bootleg, put Jimmy G out in space where you have a run pass option. You know, it's only got to get a yard. If they come up and play him, then you dink it to some back or tight end that's sneaking out. I think that happened twice, if I remember correctly, where, you know, for one might have been 4th and 3 or 4th and 2, but it lined up in the shotgun right away, and there's not a threat of a read option there with Jimmy. Now, if Jackson, Lamar Jackson's in that position, that's a different. That's a different threat, but I would like to. I would much rather see them line up with, you know, with Juszczyk and Mostert in the backfield lined up in the eye, and you got a threat of, you know, probably three different things at least.
Yeah, I agree. The other one actually was the touchdown to Deebo Samuel, and I think they caught the Ravens a little off guard, and Samuel made a great play. Great play.
He just went and got it. I mean,
yeah.
But Jimmy put it up there for him to make a play. The safety, he ends up getting there, but he's late getting there, and he's lost because he doesn't know where the ball is. And just a great play by Samuels. I mean, just go get it.
But, going back to the one in the fourth quarter, though, I agree with you. I think you go under center. You have better options there. Another thing that I kind of have to criticize the 49ers coaching staff and you know, Kyle Shanahan, was at the end of the first half. I thought it was very bad time management. You know, you and I have talked about that. I mean, they were standing around, and they didn't want to give the ball back to the Ravens there at the end, but they could have given themselves a much better chance at a shorter field goal, maybe a touchdown. Instead, it looked like they were maybe going to run the clock out, and then they got some good plays to where they moved the ball, and then, you know, they had another chance to get on the board. And I just thought they threw away a chance there.
I completely agree. I was screaming at the television. yeah, I completely agree. And I saw a little blurb where somebody asked Kyle what his thought process was, and he said, you know, basically wanted to end up with the ball in our hands at the end of the half. But And you know, Jimmy G kind of agreed, thought it was good, but I disagree. They had 2 minutes. They had three timeouts. They should have taken the first one. I think there was, if I remember correctly, minute 15, maybe a minute 20. There was a run to the left side.
Yeah, I have the play-by-play right here. It was
You kind of have to, you know, you have to feel it.
Yeah.
Just reading this thing about Tiger Woods testing golf balls, it's like, yeah, you can take all the analytics you want, but you have to feel it. This is the way I was trained. You know, people are milling around, or there's a lot of people that aren't close to where they need to be for the next snap. And, you know, you just have to call timeout. I mean, and
they had all three of their timeouts, I think, going in that 2 minute warning.
Had all three. Yeah. Had all three. And, you know, just as a kind of a rule of thumb, it's always, you know, first one at a minute and a half, second one at a minute, third one, you know, 30 seconds or less, you know, depending on what your situation is. That's, you know, that's just kind of a rule of thumb. Now, again, it comes down to, you know, you have to use them. You have to conserve time. And one of them, actually both times, almost 30 seconds ran off. The one that was the biggest one to me was it went from like 58 seconds to 28, and they huddled, and then they ripped off a run, you know, which now you've just lost all that time.
Yeah. It was a 16 yard run by Mostert.
Now, was that the first play of the 2 minute drive?
No, that was the one after they wasted about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
To 40 seconds.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There were two spots there where I thought timeout should have been called. I think they hurt themselves. I mean, and now I did see in that little blurb, in that same blurb, that they said that the ball, the Robbie's field goal, got tipped.
Oh, I didn't see about that. Okay.
They never said that on television. They never showed a replay. I kind of wondered, Christoph and I wondered, because it was way short. I mean, it was 10 yards short, it seemed like. You know, maybe it was five, but it was short, way short. But they never showed it on replay. I just think that somebody needs to help Kyle in those situations, because he's engrossed in calling plays. And he's got to trust somebody to kind of nudge it, like, you know, okay, we need to call it, you know, Kyle, we need to call it time out here.
Yeah. Like a time management guru or something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm willing to volunteer.
It's so important, though. It really is. See, I thought, Steve, that maybe he was being conservative because of the weather.
Initially, okay, I get that. You know, like, you know, you usually start of a drive like that, you want to run some draw play. Some, you know, that's kind of what we used to run, draw play all the time. Like, okay, if you bust one, then okay, you go, boom, you go, then we're gonna go. And they, if I remember correctly, the first play of the drive was a run, and it was
19 yards for most.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So then they huddle. Correct.
And yes, and they waste I got 38 seconds here.
Seconds
wasted, yeah. And then they had a penalty.
Yeah. So, you know, it just, I didn't necessarily, after that first play, I don't think you needed to take a timeout, but you needed to go on the ball, you know, because they kind of started to, and then they huddled, and, but then they ripped off another one, and like, okay, oh shit, now we got to go, you know?
Right. All of a sudden, they changed their mindset all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, I mean, almost, it was a minute 58, three timeouts. Homer would say that's eternity.
Yeah. So that was one thing. I mean, you're talking about a three-point game, so yeah. Everything matters. It's kind of like the 1-0 baseball game where everything matters instead of the 11-7 or whatever,
Right.
baseball right. game. So this one, everything matters. And another thing that really mattered, Steve, and I'm sure you weren't too happy about, or, I'm not sure. Let's hear what you think. You were a quarterback. For me, these roughing the passer penalties, I thought they were a joke against the 49ers. What'd you think?
They're ridiculous. He just shoves them. The one going out of bounds was I think it was Tart, was Jaworski. I don't know who it was, but he hits him in bounds. He comes off of him. He doesn't even try to tackle him.
That was bad. Well, what about the roughing the passer that Sheldon Day had where he was down low and he just touched him after the pass.
That one, they're going to call that one. I get that. If he hit him up high, it wouldn't have been called.
Oh, okay, because it was by his knees.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's down by his knees.
But the Algier one, that was like right after he threw the ball. Literally, he released it and then got hit.
Yeah, those are bad. I get them trying to protect the guys. If the guy takes, two more steps and hits the quarterback, then yes. Okay, I got that. But most of these, and they're not really even hitting it. I mean, they're just shoving the guy down. That's gotten out of control. But the worst is the pass interference has got to change. It's killing this game.
Now, what would you do? I mean, now this year they've got replay, but.
It's a 10-yard penalty, period.
Yeah, that is so many yards. You're right.
It's changed. I mean, did you see the Denver?
I didn't see that one. What happened? Was there a big penalty on that?
Denver got the ball back and San Diego kicks the field goal to go ahead. Or maybe no, they kicked the field goal to go ahead. They get the ball back with like 5 seconds, 10 seconds. They throw an all-go route. He just throws the ball, and they get the pass interference call. The guy kicks a 53-yarder to win.
Yeah, it's too big of a penalty. It's too many yards.
It's ridiculous. It's controlling the game.
I agree with you on that one. That needs to be a rule change.
It needs to be a 10-yard penalty, like a holding. It's because most of the time it's a hold.
Yeah,
it's 10 yards. It's not a personal foul, which is 15 yards. I get that. It needs to be 10 yards. It's everywhere. I mean, even last night they did it again.
My problem is that officiating sometimes is deciding these games. And I just don't think that you should have a game decided by, like you said, a long penalty there or, these roughing the passer calls when they weren't crushing Lamar Jackson. It wasn't some obvious call. I just didn't think either one was.
No, I thought that call was the one going out of bounds. That was a bad call because he lets him go. I mean, he hits him in bounds, and he goes out of bounds with him, but he lets him go.
Yeah. By the way, one of the things that we didn't see last year that we saw in this game was a strip of the ball after Lamar Jackson had a good run, and he hadn't fumbled a ball. He hadn't lost a fumble all season, and Marcel Harris came in after Tart got hurt, and he strips the ball. That's something we did not see last year. That was a great play.
That was an amazing play. I mean, even, watching it on television, watching it live, like, oh, he just took that ball away from him. you didn't notice it at first, but just the way he came out of it, like, no way, he just stripped him. That was an awesome play.
That really was.
It was an awesome play.
It was. And Tart went out. They say he might be able to play against the Saints, even though he has a fractured rib.
Oh, is that? That's what it was. That he got him with a knee in the rib. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman has a sprained knee, and he might play too. I mean, a lot of guys are just kind of, you get to this point in the season, you're banged up, you're still going to try to play. It's amazing.
Got to go. Yeah. Sherman's didn't look too good.
Yeah, he was pretty hobbled.
It looked like it hurt.
Well, even George Kittle doesn't look 100%. He looked like he was kind of limping around, and he didn't have as many catches.
No, but he's the difference in the he and Juszczyk are the difference in the running game.
Oh man, he was doing a great job of blocking.
Not, even if his technique is not good, he's creating he's creating havoc at the point of attack. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's just always in somebody's way, which is great.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, he doesn't even have to make a lot of catches to make an impact. In this game, he didn't have to.
I thought he was a huge difference in the running game, and Raheem was terrific.
Yeah, I want to talk about him.
Obviously, the offensive line was terrific because they opened the holes.
Oh, yeah, but he sprints through those holes. He is fast. He is so much better than I think people thought. I mean, this was a career high 146 yards in this game, and I thought one thing Kyle Shanahan did a great job of was staying with the hot hand, because some coaches will go back to maybe their starting running back Coleman, who wasn't having as good of a game.
Now,
you got to stay with a hot hand.
No, he did. It was great. It was really. I'm happy for Raheem. You know, he's got a little bit of being a track guy. He's got a He's got a little, you know, that upright. It's a little upright, like Dickerson, kind of how he carries the ball kind of upright as well.
Has he improved on that? Because remember, he had a couple fumbles.
He had a fumble issue, and he seems to be carrying it like higher, like more on his chest almost.
Yeah, I saw that on a replay.
Yeah. But I was really happy for him. He ran well, and he ran hard. That was fun to see. But Kittle, they were pointing it out quite a bit on the telecast. Every time they pointed it out, he was in somebody's way. You know, where he was supposed to be.
And that's legitimate. I mean, as a team to rush for 174 yards against the third ranked rushing defense in the NFL. I mean, this in the rain. You know, where maybe you can't plant your feet as well, but I mean, they just legitimately ran the ball well.
Yeah, I mean, we played well. I mean, they were probably seven plays better. You know, whatever that last drive was. I mean, we knew it was going to be hard to get the ball back from.
And it was a game where, because of the weather, you're not going to have Jimmy G carrying the load like he did in some previous games recently.
Threw the ball pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought
adjusted well to a heavy wet ball. I mean, that ball was the first ball they played with was soaked. I mean, first play of the game, it looked like it was soaked.
Yeah, and that's not easy, but I wanted to ask you, too, about, and, you know, you were a guy who grew up in wet weather, so did he.
Yeah.
What adjustments you make with that, and also because it was pointed out by Charles Davis on the telecast that you throw a little more on the receiver rather than leading him. Is that true all the time, or how do you feel about that?
It's more of you know, trying to stay more in your rhythm. For someone like Jimmy G, it's slowing down your rhythm because, you know, he gets on that back foot a lot of times and he whips it out, you know, because he has such a strong arm. But you kind of have to lengthen your stroke a little bit and stay in a consistent throwing motion. So that ball doesn't come flying out of your hand, and you know, you got to try and anticipate a little bit more to start ahead of time.
Yeah, he did a good job of it, and
and
even though this is a loss, it still feels like it's sort of like a feel good game because you're playing through this tough schedule. You beat Green Bay, you almost beat Baltimore, and now you've got the Saints. They played well. You've got the Saints, a team that's also 10-2, and it really gets down to it here, Steve, because, you know, the Seahawks are on the schedule later, and you're 10-2. Everybody's going for the number one spot. It's going to be really, really intense.
I'm blown away by the thought that there's a possibility we could be 13-3 and be a wild card team.
That is hard to believe.
That's mind boggling.
How good these other teams are in the NFC. It's really tough.
In the NFC West.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, New Orleans, San Francisco, Seattle. I mean, We have to win. I mean, we've won 10 games, but we're going to win 4 more.
and this is this is division. Not. Yeah, I know it's going to be tough, but and this is not going to be an easy task in New Orleans.
They've got
extra rest because they played on Thanksgiving. You know, Drew Brees with his weapons and Kamara, the way he can run.
On turf.
The whole thing.
It's a dome team. You know, they're built differently. And New Orleans, a place will be rocking. They're going to get, it's loud.
And two of the best offensive minds really in the game today, when you think about Kyle Shanahan and Sean Payton.
No question. My guess is it'll be quite the shootout. It'll be 35-32, 42-38, something like that.
Ooh, wow, that's an interesting prediction.
Okay. It'll be way different than Baltimore, and in the on grass, in the rain, sloppy. Although that field held up really well in Baltimore, I thought.
Yeah, it did for all that weather.
But now it's 70 degrees, your own carpet. It could very easily be high scoring.
And hopefully some of these players we talked about, if Tart's in there and then Sherman, maybe Joe Staley might be back. Matt Breida might be back. You want all of your guns, have everybody healthy.
Yeah. Breida. Now, okay. Breida, did he play the first play of the game?
No, he was out. He was just out with the ankle.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that was him in there. I was doing something outside and I walked in right kind of when the first play happened. I thought that was Breida. Anyway.
Not Coleman, but I mean, that's the thing. This is a great option to have it as a head coach from one game to another. Ride the hot hand. Whoever's running the ball better.
Ooh, yeah, I agree. And to what you were just saying, we're going to need everybody on Sunday. We're going to need everybody for the next 4 weeks.
Absolutely.
Let's make that the next 8 weeks. Because it's just mind-boggling to me that, like I said, that we could be 13-3 and be a wild card.
I know.
We're 10-2 right now. We're the number 5 seed.
Yeah, it's amazing with one game.
We would have to go to, I guess we'd have to go to Dallas. If you ended up as the wild card, we'd be the best wild card team.
Against a division winner, yeah.
Against the worst division winner, right?
That's the way it could end up. Yeah,
that could be Dallas,
right?
Dallas could be 8-8 and win a division,
which is really crazy. I know. And look at it. I mean, the only losses that you have if you're the 49ers are an overtime loss against the Seahawks in this game. So far, I mean, really, this team has been almost flawless.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No question. Played really well.
All right, well, we look forward to talking about it next week after that game in New Orleans and see how that turns out.
It'll be a doozy.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Joe. Enjoy the sunshine.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. We'll catch you again next week after the 49ers play in New Orleans against the Saints. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.